and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, welcome to a special edition of Sovereign Minds. Mark and Linda are off this Sunday and about very important tasks. So you get Wynn and I for an extra hour carrying over from the Jefferson State of Mind. After that, they'll be replaying an interview from a guy named Big Al. He's a veteran here from Shasta County, lives in Redding. He was a member of a bomber crew that was shot down over Germany. He spent some years in a German internment camp. It's an amazing interview of a patriot and a soldier of this country. And that'll be followed on by a interview of Ted Nugent from last year that is fantastic as well. But until we get to that, you're stuck with us for a little bit longer.
There you go.
So for this piece, for this segment, we kind of wanted to really set the tone and talk about this country and independence and what that means and really bring home what's been sacrificed and done for that independence and what we need to do. And, you know, the fact that a lot of people are unwilling to even get off the couch compared to what's been given over for this country. So with that, we wanted to lead into this clip here.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, well, Mr. Key, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, if you will, scan the horizon of the sea. And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, that's the entire British war fleet. He said, all of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, the war is over. These men would be free anyway. He said, you can't shell that fort. He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. And he said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said, it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said, suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says, from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said, he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when it had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground. Although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Or the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
It's
it's that time again for Anderson Explodes on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fair. Brought to you by Redding Kia, Wind River, Sierra Pacific Industries, B&B RV, Tri-Counties Bank, and B&T Satellite. Admission is free, so come down and join us for an evening of entertainment and celebration. Gates open at 4. Music starts at 5:30 with California Country, followed by Chad Bushnell at 7 and Cloverdale at 8. Kids' bounce houses and water slides, just $5 for the whole night. Food and drinks are available, including the annual 4-H FFA barbecue. Parking is just $4. We will see you July 3rd at Anderson Explodes.
This is Carl and the Bot. We're declaring our independence on the 4th of July, and all the employees of KCNR 1460 will be celebrating our Day of Independence. That is, everybody except Kyle and Jared, who'll be doing the Colt 45's baseball July 4th that evening, starting at 7:15. Regular programming begins again on July 5th. Have a wonderful 4th of July, and enjoy your Day of Independence and what it means.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Reading's electric utility. Are you interested in saving energy and money? By investing in energy-efficient products, equipment, and technologies, you can further reduce your energy usage and increase your savings. Before you shop, review REU's rebate page and see how we can help you save money and energy. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you. Powerful together.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
But it's not free.
No, it's not.
It's not going to get done without work.
Yeah, the Jeffersons had to work for it.
It's not going to be done without sacrifice.
No, Mr. Jefferson worked his tail off to get there.
And as you listen to that last piece that we played, what some were willing and more than willing to sacrifice and give up, what we're asking for is pretty minimal.
Oh, absolutely.
A few hours of your time, a couple of your dollars. Your voice.
Yeah.
That's it. We're not asking you to hold the flag up against the bombardment of the entire British war fleet.
Until it comes to that.
Until it comes to that. And if you don't give us a couple of dollars or a couple hours of your time or your talent or your voice, it is going to come to that.
It definitely will.
That's the direction that it's headed, and anybody that's a student of history or has half a brain or an ounce of common sense can see it.
Yep.
It's marching on our gates. and we have to dig in and we have to fight, and we have to fight the fight that we're fighting, or we're going to be fighting that kind of fight.
And that was a beautiful story telling us where we came from. That's where we came from as a nation. That's how we evolved. Yeah. That was the conception of our nation, if you will. That flag still standing.
And if I don't do my part to put a stop to it here, that's going to be my son or my daughter fighting that fight.
Mine too.
And I'm not going to leave that fight to him.
No, we can't.
I can't.
Nope.
So, with that, I wanted to read a little bit from the Declaration of Independence and kind of bring that home too.
Oh, there you go.
In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Now remember, for the men that signed this, this was a death warrant for them. This was treason against their country.
Yes.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among them the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Well, again, I think we are well beyond the need to dissolve the political bands between us and the rest of California and the insanity in Sacramento. And to declare the causes which impel us for that separation, we could be here all day, all night, and probably well into the next morning discussing the causes that impel us to the separation. I mean, where do you start? Where do you stop with what California is doing to us?
Yeah.
They're driving us out economically. They're driving us out politically. They're grinding our rights into the dust. They're grinding our livelihoods into the dust. They're driving our means of survival out. They're crushing our historical place here. They're destroying our culture. They're destroying families that have lived off this land for hundreds of years now.
Yeah.
They're doing it actively. They're doing it purposefully. And it has to stop. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And is that not what we really seek in Jefferson? Is equal application of the law, equal treatment for all, equality for everyone to live their lives, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They've taken our liberty. They've destroyed our pursuit of happiness. They're after our property. They haven't taken our lives completely yet, but they're working on it.
They're doing that. Yeah.
Every day they come up with more ways to take our lives from us, to put us in jail, to incarcerate us, to turn us into a prison state. Nonsensical things where you could be sued into oblivion for denying climate change. Where you can be put in prison for up to 10 years for allowing a friend to shoot your gun on the firing range. It's insane, the things that are going on, and that's just a small piece of it. But that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So what happens when the governed no longer consent? Are the powers that the government exercised just? They're not.
They're not.
I no longer consent. I don't think you consent.
No.
I know a great many people that no longer consent to be governed by the insanity of Sacramento and Jerry Brown and this legislature. And if we no longer consent to their governance, then we have a right to dissolve the political bands between us. And the powers that they wield are unjust.
We want to divorce California.
Very, very badly. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Well, exactly what are we discussing here every week, every Sunday in and every Sunday out?
Yep.
Has our government become destructive towards our life, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness?
Yes, they have.
So do we not have a right to abolish or alter that government?
We do.
We do.
And we have a moral responsibility to do so.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So, oh, so, it's, and it goes on to say that when you institute that new government, you must lay its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Well, that is that not the process that we're beginning July 23rd?
We are.
1179 Eager Road of the Church of Glad Tidings, when, as we're calling our first assembly.
Yes.
We are laying the foundation to begin the process of instituting new government that will secure our liberty, our life, and our pursuit of happiness, that will dissolve the bands of a government that has been become destructive to the ends and the means of the people.
That's correct.
It's laid out here in black and white. It's been done for us. We know the path. We have the way forward.
We have the rule book.
These truths that our founding fathers held self-evident then are still relevant today. It's right here. So, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. So they go further to declare that a long-standing government shouldn't be abolished on a whim, or just because they did something that made you mad that day, or you didn't agree with something. But I would say that we have a very valid, very long-standing argument. These are not just mere whims. These are not flashes of temper. These are valid concerns. These are a list and a litany of offenses against the people that absolutely require response. And that response is what has been laid out before us, is to dissolve those political ties and to form the foundations of government best suited to our needs.
Absolutely.
Hold on, there's... But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. Is there a design to reduce us to absolute despotism?
Yes.
I believe there is, too.
Yeah.
I believe it is intent. I believe it is purposeful. They want us out.
They want us out.
They don't want any political opposition. They don't want any political discourse. They do not want equality. They want it their way, and they are more than willing to grind us into dust to get it. They're willing to strip away our rights. They are willing to reduce us to nothing more than criminals and serfs to do it. And it is a long train of abuses. Over 50 years worth. Taxes, laws, rights theft, property theft, you name it. It just becomes on and on. And our founding fathers even point out that people are more willing to suffer evils that they're used to.
Yes.
Than they are to right those. And we have to stop suffering those evils. And when it evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, which I argue there is great evidence of a design to reduce us to despotism, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, such has been the patient suffering of these counties here in the North State. And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. And we do wish to alter our system of government. We wish to tear out the direct democracy that exists, that is grinding the people to dust, and restore the republic that we were intended to be, that we are constitutionally guaranteed. We're not asking for anything that's not ours by right already.
It's a federal constitutional guarantee, and it is a state constitutional guarantee.
It is. The history of the present king of Great Britain, which could easily translate into the history of the present governor of California, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over this state. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid word. And our forefathers go on to list a litany of complaints, many of them that we suffer from today in the state of California. So on this Independence Weekend, as we go into it, take into this weekend the proper mindset of what this country is really about and understand it on a fundamental level, and you'll see how much we have already lost, how much we have already surrendered through inaction, how much has already been taken from us. And government never gives back anything for free.
No, it's always a huge price to pay.
Everything that has been taken, we're going to have to fight to return. We're going to have to fight for every piece of it that we have surrendered willingly. And there's going to be a price paid for every one of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do this civilly? Yes. For a short time longer.
Mm-hmm.
But every day that window gets smaller and smaller. And there will reach an event horizon where it can no longer be dealt with civilly, where it will turn to violence, where it will turn to bloodshed. Is that next week? Is that next generation? None of us knows for certain. I personally don't think we have until the next generation. I think our time is very short, which is why it is so critical that we do what we need to do. And again, we're not asking you to hold up the flag to stop America's surrender against the guns of the British war fleet yet. We're asking you to get involved, to give your voice, to pay attention to what's going on around you, to vote responsibly, to vote intelligently. If there's no good candidates, run for office. Give us your time. Give us a couple hours a week. Give us a couple of bucks. Give us anything that qualifies as civic duty. Get into the fight.
And don't stick your head in the sand.
And don't stick your head into the sand.
And talk about it with your children. If you have children at home, or even grown adult children, talk about it. Make it conversation. And if you don't know, guess what? Learn together. Have conversations and dialogue with people that do know. Get on the internet and look and see what's out there as far as the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, all the other good stuff that is our, part of our huge foundation of this nation and of our state. Look at the Constitution for both the nation and the state. Look what the Constitution says for California. See where it has totally gone awry. It truly has.
Horribly destroyed.
Yes. Look at it.
Maimed.
Look how it was founded. And look how it was, what was written. The words that were there, every word was chosen purposely for both constitutions, for the federal and for the state of California. Look at them and understand them. Read them. Wrap your head around it.
And that's why those documents are not open for interpretation.
No.
They interpret them exactly the way that they're written.
Reading as written.
Because it took them years to pass the Constitution in its form.
Mm-hmm.
Because they labored over every word, every comma, every statement, because they meant it to mean exactly what they said.
Right.
They never intended anybody to go, well, I think the Founding Fathers meant this. No, they meant exactly what they said and in what form.
And a third grader can read it and understand it.
Clearly.
And that's typically when you learn this stuff at school, or at least you used to. You know, you learn this stuff and understand it, and you would understand what it stood for. It not so much anymore, especially in California schools.
Yeah.
Which is sad to say and scary. But there are some schools, and I'm not going to say all, but some schools do teach it, and they're trying to do the right thing. But there are a great many of them that are not.
Yeah. I saw a picture on the internet, and it struck me really funny, as the Founding Fathers are sitting around, and they're writing the Bill of Rights, and James Madison sitting at the table writing. And Ben Franklin goes, do you think we should make the Second Amendment a little bit stronger, James? And the little cartoon bubble responds, really, Ben? It's not like we're going to be dealing with idiots here.
Oh. Sad, sad, sad.
Sorry, James. Apparently.
That's what's happened.
That's what's happened. So, with that, we better sneak off to our break, and we will see you on the other side of it. If you got questions, comments, thoughts, give us a call, 530-605-4567.
Being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding egos. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are unseen. Sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, July 7th in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fabulous evening with Bobby Veramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, and my special guest Paul Sen on trumpet. A night of the American Songbook from 7 to 9 p.m. Call 243-3377 for reservations. Romance on the River, July 7th. See you there.
Attention, parents. Redding School of the Arts is excited to announce the start of the Virtual School for the North State Community. This virtual independent study program for Shasta and neighboring counties will include students in grades kindergarten through 8th grade, and it supports immunized and non-immunized families. Redding School of the Arts will offer a superior educational program to meet the following goals: an alternative learning opportunity to traditional brick-and-mortar institutions, a tailored program that meets state standards, outstanding credentialed teachers, enrichment and tutoring on and off campus, and it's all part of a tuition-free public charter school. For more information, visit rsarts.org. That's rsarts.org. Or call us at 530-247-6933. That's 247-6933.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, turn world, serve its own needs, dummy, serve your own needs, speed it up and not speak, front, no strength, doesn't matter, start to clatter with fear, fight down, high choir in a fire, represent seven games,
welcome back to this special continuation of the Jefferson State of Sovereign Minds this morning. We are taking up the first hour of Sovereign Minds, and then we'll be running a interview with a World War II bomber crew member that was shot down over Germany. Fantastic story. And that'll be followed by a rerun of the Ted Nugent interview from last year with Sovereign Minds. But as we finish up here, I want to announce that if you support what we do here with Jefferson State of Mind and what we do with Sovereign Minds and some of our other media activities, everybody, we are holding a gun raffle. You can purchase tickets by calling 530-221-0101. They're $20 a ticket, but if you get together with your friends and buy tickets in bulk, you get a great deal. We're auctioning off a pick of the litter, AR-15, a Remington 270, a tactical shotgun, and it's possible you could win all three. The first one drawn will have his pick of the litter. The second one drawn will have their pick of the litter. The third one drawn. That drawing will be coming up July 11th. So there's just about a week left to get your tickets. Again, get a hold of us at 530-221-0101 to buy those tickets. And Wynn, you have an announcement?
I do. If you want to get involved with Jefferson for Shasta County, and Jefferson as a total, come to the Shasta County meetings that are Monday nights at 5:30 at the Vineyard Church at 3276 Bocelli Lane. And what we do is we have our meeting for about a half hour or so prior to the Patriot meeting. So, again, at 5:30 at the Vineyard Church on Bocelli Lane, 3276. And just come and learn, come and share, come and find out what's going on. We will not be having a meeting tomorrow night for the obvious reason that we're all going to be out doing our thing.
Fourth of July, baby.
We're going to be celebrating the independence of our nation. And so we will not be having a meeting either way tomorrow night. But starting the following Monday, we will be. So come on down, learn what you can do. And you don't have to show up every time. You can come when you want. That's the beauty of the way we run it. It's not a formal meeting. We don't take roll. We don't ask your name unless you want to share it. We introduce ourselves, and we just kind of go through that process. So we keep it pretty low-key, pretty simple, and straightforward. You'll find out in our meetings what's going on throughout the entire state of Jefferson territory, because that's what we do. Not all the places do that, but that's what we do because we're so linked in with all of the other counties. Keeping in mind there are 21 counties total, so we have a lot of knowledge of what's going on with all of them. You can ask questions, and if you know people and have friends and family in other counties, you can get them involved with their county as well, and the movement is a total. So truly, it's a grassroots effort. It truly is. I mean, everything that we pay for comes out of our own pockets. So come and learn, see what's going on, get involved, and help us make this movement move forward and get it going as soon and as quickly as possible.
Yep. And now that we have business out of the way, we have Ron on the line. Thank you, Ron, so much for holding.
Thanks, Ron.
Are you there?
Ron, are you there? Did we lose?
Hang on.
Okay. We had to flip a switch. Are you there, Ron?
Hello?
Hi, Ron.
There you go. Thank you for holding, Ron.
I hear you now. Barely, but anyway. Now that bill is passed, that means I can't take my grandson deer hunting or take him out shooting skeet. And I'd like to know when those bills are going to, when they're going to go into effect about all the bills that Mr. Brown just passed. And also, my next question is, I'll take it on the air, off the air. Who did that thing on Francis Scott Key that you played earlier? I'd like to have a copy of that.
It can be found on YouTube. What was the name of it, Bum?
It was called Star Spangled Banner As You've Never Heard It.
Yeah, go to YouTube and type in Star Spangled Banner As You've Never Heard It.
Okay.
And that'll find it, and some links to some other good stuff. As to when the bills go into effect, I am not certain. I believe it's January 1st of next year. We'll find that out and have it for you next Sunday. And I'll be honest, I think I speak for a lot of folks, I don't think they'll ever go into effect for me.
Well, I think what'll happen is they go into effect when you comply.
Mm.
So, yeah. You know, that's a choice we all have to individually make, but, you know, I'm assuming a lot of us will make the same decision.
As Andrew Jackson said, when John Marshall, the Chief Justice of the United States, ruled against the Constitution, Well, John Marshall has chosen his side and made his decision. Now let's see him enforce it.
There you go.
Okay, so. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right,
thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
So, and that is a good point. It becomes law when you comply.
Well, it's sad, you know, a grandfather here speaking about taking his grandson out, going to show him and teach him. And what a beautiful thing. Grandpa and grandson going out, spending quality time together, doing this together like a lot of us have done.
Yeah.
And we're going to rob our citizens of that? We're going to rob our grandkids of that, our children of that? I don't think so.
No.
Not on my watch.
And really, it's taking responsibility away.
Yeah.
It's turning us into a passive, handout, mamby-pamby mm-hmm. bunch of sissies.
Exactly.
It really is. It's about pacifying us as a people. You know, it's 60 years ago, 17, 18, 19-year-olds were storming the beach against the Germans. Now they need a safe place because somebody might say a bad word to them that offends them. It's asinine. It's insane what is going on in this country and is what is happening to our people. And we can't sit back passively, quietly anymore.
No.
And, you know, it does no good to sit on your couch and scream at the TV and throw your shoes at the newscast. That accomplishes nothing. We need warriors in the trenches fighting this thing.
We do.
We need people on the front line saying no more, putting a stop to it. Activating the methods and the tools that were granted to us by our founding fathers. They have paid the price for us already. They have paid that price. And if we allow that price to go unused so that we have to pay that price again, we are the biggest damn fools in the history of the world. If we sit there and refuse to exercise our rights, to exercise the tools granted to us in the Constitution, refuse to exercise the methods that we can use to resolve this peacefully,
mm-hmm.
we are idiots.
Absolutely.
And we need every person we can get. We need all hands on deck. We have to put a stop to these things.
Well, think about this. You know, it's been done before. It's been a little over 150 years since it's been done. Do you not want to have your fingerprints on this? Do you not want to be able to tell your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, friends, family, whatever, hey, you know what? I didn't do a whole lot, but I did a little bit, and my part counted. And it does count. Every part that anybody does, any contribution you put into play, it counts. It helps. It makes a difference. You're part of the puzzle. It's a giant puzzle, huge puzzle, and every piece counts.
And it takes all of the pieces.
It does. It takes all the pieces. And then just think what a wonderful feeling of elation that would be once it comes to be. It's like, I had a part in this. As small as it is or as big as it is, mm-hmm. I had a part in this. And I made a difference. What a wonderful thing to be able to know and know in your mind and in your heart, I helped contribute to that.
And we are taking on the beast in its den.
Yeah.
If you look at California, we are taking on by far the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hitting them in their own home territory.
Yes.
And we're going to carve out a beachhead right on the enemy's doorstep. And that's what the state of Jefferson's about. We need to restore our Constitution. We need to restore our representation. We need to give this country and this state back to the people.
And the beauty of this is we're not the only state doing this. We're the most advanced at what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're farthest into the process of what we're doing. We're doing it the right way.
We're the experts,
scary as that is. But there are other states within the nation that are looking at what we're doing, and they're waiting to see what happens with us.
Yeah.
They're in contact with a lot of us, finding out what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we do certain things, why we're not doing other things. And it's constant education. It truly mm-hmm. is. And I'm not saying that we know it all. We have to learn it as we go.
Yeah, we've had to learn every bit as we've gone.
And, it's all grassroots.
Yeah.
We do not have a big funder. They're not paying for anything for us.
Nor do we want one.
Nor do we want one.
We wish to be holding to no one
just
except ourselves.
To the people. That's it.
With that, we've got Terry on the line.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to make a quick announcement. There will not be a Reading Patriots meeting tomorrow night. There will not be one on July 4th. Hope everybody is having a great Independence Day, which really was yesterday, but that's a whole other story.
Yep.
The other thing is that, Red, everything you guys are talking about that you and Wynn are talking about is right spot on, as usual. And the sheriff of Shasta County, Tom Basinko, will be at the Patriots meeting on the 11th. That's July 11th, not this Monday, but next Monday. We meet at the Vineyard City Church, 3276 Bocelli Lane. That's 3276 Bocelli Lane, the Vineyard City Church. It starts at 6 o'clock, and the sheriff is going to be there to discuss this stuff. Now, we all know he has some MOUs with some federal agencies. I'd like to know why.
Well, that would be a question for Sheriff Basinko. And, you know, questions of what will he do to enforce these new laws or not do, or, you know, at what point does something not become a question for the court anymore because it is so glaringly, obviously unconstitutional that it could not in good conscience be enforced?
There you go.
I agree. You know, and it really is time, as you're saying, for the people to rise up. And, yes, there is other states and other folks looking at us. The meeting we're going to have on the 23rd of July is going to be an amazing thing. And from what I understand, we have almost 100 or maybe over 100 now people registered.
And we expect a deal of people that don't register to arrive as well.
I agree. I think that, you know, we may end up with 400 or 500 people there, which would be great. Again, great show, guys. Remember, folks, July 11th, our sheriff's coming in. He's been a good sheriff for us, and we need to now make sure that he has the courage and the backing of everyone. But to me, I don't know why we'd ever have an MOU with any federal agency that can drive around town with the ability to do law enforcement in their little green trucks. Hmm. The Department of Forestry, I don't know why we have that as an MOU in the city of Reading. Might be a question we might want to ask. Could be a valid reason for it, but the way the federal government is now, I think that we all question just about everything, don't we, folks?
We do. Every bit of it.
Okay, guys, have a great show.
All right.
Thank you.
And we are coming to the end of this special hour of the continuation of the Jefferson State of Sovereign Minds, I guess. And we invite everybody, stay tuned for the interview with Big Al. He was the bomber crew member that was shot down over Germany during World War II. His fantastic story. And then that'll be followed on by an interview from last year with Ted Nugent that was fantastic and is extremely timely, considering California and its new gun insanity laws. So stay tuned for that. What you got, Wynn?
Okay, one more last thing, too. I probably haven't talked about it for a little bit, but I just want to remind people, if you want to contribute to the success of the State of Jefferson movement for the attorney fees, we have a foundation that we accept money for, and it's only spent to pay for legal fees. And if you want to contribute to that, you can make your checks out or money orders out to SOJ Formation, and you can mail them to SOJ Formation, P.O. Box 1364, Shingle Springs, California, 95682. Shingle Springs, just in case you didn't know, is down in El Dorado County, which is on the southern tip or southern area of Jefferson. So again, it's SOJ Formation, P.O. Box 1364, Shingle Springs, California, 95682. Or you can go to the SOJ51.net website, and we have a PayPal account on there. So go to the website, first page, top right-hand corner, click on the donate button, and it'll take you to the PayPal account, and you can get set up and do that. And if you want to do a one-time deal, you want to do an ongoing payment plan or something like that to help us out, that'd be great. We'll take $20, we'll take $10, we'll take $5, we'll take $1 million. We'll take whatever you're willing to share and contribute to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And again, July 23rd, 1179 Eager Road, Live Oak, the Church of Glad Tidings. Come and have a say in your state. Come get involved. We need a great many people for a great many things. We've got everything to discuss, from the state tree to organizing tax protests to a great, great many things that we have to accomplish to get this state done, and we need you there on the firing line. We'll see you next week.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Iraqi officials say the death toll from the car bomb attack this morning claimed by ISIS in central Baghdad has rocketed up to 115 people. Hospital and police officials say another 187 were wounded in the blast. A second bomb attack in eastern Baghdad early today killed 5 and wounded 16. There are terrorism alerts all over America with the 4th of July tomorrow and the ending of Ramadan on Tuesday.
Independence weekend is supposed to be a joyous time for Americans, and security officials are determined to keep it that way. They urge all to report any suspicious activities to authorities. The situation is especially tense this year. Some Islamic fanatics carry out terrorist acts during Ramadan, believing that will bring them to paradise. Brutal attacks in Bangladesh, Turkey, Israel, and other parts of this country are examples. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring is fighting a lawsuit by a Republican delegate who doesn't want to vote for Donald Trump at the convention this month.
Herring, a Democrat, filed a brief in a federal lawsuit Friday opposing Delegate Carol Correll Jr.'s bid to unbind Virginia's delegates from having to vote according to the results of the March 1st primary, which Trump won. Correll sued Herring and other Virginia officials last week, saying that being forced to vote for Trump at the convention would violate his constitutional rights. Herring said Correll knew what the rules were for delegates when he applied to be one and shouldn't be allowed to invalidate the results of the primary. A hearing is set for Thursday. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is the first of 2 days of national mourning in Bangladesh for the victims of yesterday's terror attack. And there are words of condolence from around the world at the death of Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel. He was 87. The Romanian-born Holocaust survivor's classic book, Night, became a landmark testament in 1959. This is townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
The State Lands Commission has approved a deal to close California's last nuclear power plant nearly 20 years ahead of its previously planned termination.
The commission took the action as it approved a lease that allows Pacific Gas and Electric to continue operating the Diablo Canyon Twin Reactor facility through 2025. The company and environmental groups agreed to that date last week after decades of protests by environmental activists over the facility, which is poised along earthquake fault lines in central California. Other state agencies must also approve the deal.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump says, quote, it is impossible for the FBI not to recommend criminal charges against Hillary Clinton. That's what he tweeted yesterday. Clinton was interviewed yesterday by the FBI over her use of private email service while she was Secretary of State. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. You'll soon be able to sit in a pro football locker room and learn life lessons from the legends of the game.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame is set to unveil a holographic film experience called A Game for Life, featuring representations of Joe Namath, Vince Lombardi, George Halas, and many others. The exhibit will allow fans to enter a stadium-themed pre-show tunnel into a main set designed to look and feel just like an NFL locker room for Hall of Famers, and will be treated to a multitude of physical, visual, and audio elements. The Game for Life is expected to open by the end of the month, just in time for football season. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, July the 3rd. It is the 185th day of 2016. There are 181 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1775, General George Washington took command of the Continental Army at Cambridge, Massachusetts. And on this date in 1863, the three-day Battle of Gettysburg came to a conclusion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds. It is Sunday morning, July the 3rd, 2016. Thanks again to Red Smith and Wynn Carpenter for giving us a bonus hour. Our Jefferson State of Mind hosts, staying in for the first hour of Sovereign Minds this morning. For this next hour, this next segment, we have a replay of an interview with World War II veteran Big Al Johnson that originally aired on May 29th of this year, Memorial Day weekend. We wanted to replay it for 4th of July weekend, so we bring you your host, Mark Kent, and Linda Kent, and Red Smith, talking with Big Al Johnson. You're listening to Sovereign Minds on AM 1460 KCNR.
And we need to honor the people that have sacrificed everything in order for us to stay free. And, you know, so that's, you know, something we need to probably be thinking about more of. But
it's not just about barbecues.
It's not about barbecues. So anyway, I just had to get that out there, and I thought that was an appropriate song and kind of a follow-in to our next guest.
Yeah.
We've got Alan Johnson on the phone.
We do.
Are you there, Mr. Johnson?
Yes. My name is Alan Johnson. I'm 92 years old. I'm out here at the Redding Cal Veterans Home, and I went in the service 2/2/43, discharged in 10/1/45, and at that time I chose the Army Air Corps, which was not the Army Air Force until 1947. My bomber, which I was a pastor of, I was an engineer, was shot down over Berlin. And the story that's kind of behind that is the fact that the Berlin radio announced our names of the whole crew, 10 of us, which 5 never got out, and 5 survived. I was the last one out that lived. But my folks were known about what was happened probably 4 or 5 days afterwards, because there was 20 to 30 shortwave radio operators on the East Coast picked up the message and relayed telegrams and phone calls to my folks. So if it had been up to the government, it would have been probably 3 months before they'd been notified of missing in action or lost. So that's part of the story. At any rate, I can go on to tell you things that happened on the ground if you wish of that.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you were 3 months before you were even reported missing in action. And then,
well, it would have been 3 months. It would have been reported as missing in action, but they would have not known what happened. As it was, they knew 4 days. And the fact is, I lived around Marysville, and they sent a major out and presented a Purple Heart to my mother, which was unusual because I'd only been wounded 3 or 4 days.
How, when you say you were shot down, I mean, what did you guys do, bail out? I mean, how did you survive the crash?
I was the last one. The ones that survived bailed out for them never got out of the airplane, period.
So you guys just put on your parachutes and jumped, huh?
Yeah, well, the pilot and co-pilot, they sit in their chutes. We have what they call little chest chutes, and they go. You travel down pretty fast with them, but I didn't get out until the last second. In fact, as I another probably if I have another couple of minutes in the airplane, I would never survive.
So you hit the ground. Where were you at? Germany?
Well, I hit in the residential district of Berlin.
Wow.
I just barely missed a garage and lit up against a house in the residential district. And the first man that come along was an old fellow with an axe. He heard me down the street to where there were some town policemen, and they were old too, because all your younger fellows were on the fronts fighting. And they took a few swings until the flak gunners come along, and then they ran them off and took us to their headquarters.
And you were wounded at that time,
wounded.
Correct?
Yes, I had a hole through my right shoulder and lung, so forth, one in the back of the neck, and I think about 13, 14 minor wounds.
What year was that?
That was June 21st, 1944. Right after D-Day.
Wow.
We flew on D-Day.
So you guys were on a bombing raid right after D-Day then?
That's right. It was an all-out, a large bombing raid on Berlin.
How many planes do you think were involved in the raid? Was you the only, you know, how many were in your squadron?
Well, the day before we'd put up 31 airplanes for an all-out to Pulitz, not Pulaski, Pulitz, next to Russia, and we were shot up pretty bad there, and then come back from 9 minutes out of Sweden time on three engines. They made it back okay. The next day, we were only able to put up 11 planes where we'd had 31 the day before. And there's probably at least 1,000 other airplanes. We were one of the first ones over the target.
So how many planes do you think got shot down at this?
On that particular raid?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably neighborhood of 30. I don't really know. There were two out of our group.
And then, Al, if you could tell us what happened after you were on the ground and you were wounded, what happened next?
Well, they picked me up and they took us to the co-pilot was shot in the neck too. They took us to Hermann Göring's Luckwaff Hospital in Berlin, where they operated on me without anesthetic or anesthesia. And the co-pilot had been shot through the neck, so they had push snips holding his stuff together. And he, by the way, he died 15 days later because he got gangrene and a wound, and they'd been feeding him through the deal. I myself had to have several blood transfusions and was out for a while. In fact, as I didn't know about the second one.
Wow. So, that's amazing that you survived that to begin with. And then what happened after that? You started getting well, and they shipped you to...
Well, eventually, yeah. I was moved 11 times, which was very odd, which is something that doesn't happen very often. From Hermann Göring Luke Hospital, they moved me to a hospital in Frankfurt. And that was next to Hallmark, which was your interpretation center. And I went there and they put me in 5 days solitary. They finally told me more about myself than I knew, because they had records. They'd evidently received a letter from home, which I never did receive when I was there for 11 months.
So it sounds to me like they were keeping you alive to extract information then.
Well, that's what... it's just like one plane went down a dozen miles probably outside of Berlin, and they executed all 8 of the fellows and saved the pilot and co-pilot for interrogation. But it all depends on where you was at. Some Germans were pretty nice people.
And then some weren't, obviously.
Some weren't.
Yeah. So then, you know, you're going through this, you're healing, and you know, you're getting well, relatively speaking. and they're moving around to different hospitals. They're getting information out of you, if possible.
Well, it wasn't. I don't think the information is the fact that later I lost the use of my legs and hands. I'd evidently, that's a long story, too. They told me I'd had diphtheria of the wound. That's because they didn't have a bed in the hospital. They put me out in the ward with some diphtheria cases. But the orderlies told me my swabs had come back negative. And I probably had a slight case of beriberi, which wasn't too common in Europe.
Hmm. And
so when I got home, I had an enlarged heart, liver, and spleen.
And while you were going through all of this, you kept diaries, didn't you, Big Al?
Yes, I did.
And you were able to bring them back with you?
That's right.
That's pretty awesome.
A
little different in most cases, that's for sure. The Norwegian Red Cross gave me that diary in Berlin.
And so you got those presently then?
I've got the stories and so forth that were written and kept. I wish I'd have kept a better record than I did, but I do have the dates and so forth.
I would imagine, though, that if you were reading them, things just flood back into your memory, don't they?
Well, things back in those days that happened, I remember real well. Now, 92, I have a little trouble in memory.
Well,
I'm not that old, and I got a problem with my memory at times, that's for sure, let alone go through everything that you've been through.
But, I mean, it sounds to me like you had to be pretty tough to survive this part of the thing, and, you know, and I guess they
I went through an air raid where I didn't know where I was at for probably a week or so on one of our own airplanes raids. And then the other things happened, too, like I was sentenced to 2 weeks in solitary confinement in a German prison, but the orderlies, which had saved my life earlier, were English, and they had been captured in Dunkirk. They knew the old gentleman smoked a pipe. Then we received Red Cross parcels while we was in the hospital, and I was able to get a hold of a can of Prince Albert, which gave me an edge. I got to eat with him. In fact, I got a little disappointed in him because he let me out after 8 days, and I wanted to spend the 2 weeks there.
Hmm. Well,
so you weren't actually in the hospital until the end of the war. You actually ended up in a German prison?
Well, yes. I was in and out of hospitals. I was in three different stalags, and there was... Well, we were moved about ahead of the Russians, and they had those about 6 or 8 death marches in Germany, but you didn't hear about those because of the terrible deal that took place in Japan, where the Japanese march was only probably 40 miles. Some of them were 1,200 and 1,600 miles ahead of the Russians.
So you're talking about the Bataan Death March then?
Well, one of their death marches, they figured they lost about 15%. But it was nothing like what took place in Japan.
Wow. So you're now, how long were you in captive? I mean,
I was 11 months.
11 months, and then you got released at the end of the war, or?
Well, I was liberated by the Russians, and I spent 18 days with the Russian military. That was the story in itself. It was all American equipment, and, well, I can't go into all that. That was something else.
Yeah. So while you're in the camp here, I mean, do you think it's over? I mean, what are you guys thinking about? Are you thinking about getting out? Or are you thinking about going home? What are you guys thinking about?
Well, you kind of learn to just ride the waves and not do much thinking. At least that's the way it affected me.
And there was quite a few of you, weren't there, in the camp?
Well, the last camp I was in, there was over 10,000. That was an officer's camp at Barth, Germany, up in the Baltic.
Up in,
wow.
the, oh, up in the Baltic, huh? It's kind of cold up there, isn't it?
But actually, I was in Czechoslovakia for a while. I was traveled enough to assume quite a few places in Germany.
So they were just shipping you around by rail?
Some of it was by rail, yes. In fact, it was 8 days, 8 nights in a boxcar for what they call 48. There were 63 of us in there. You couldn't, not everybody could sit down even, hardly. Might be able to sit down, but you couldn't lay down.
Wow.
That was, they passed water in. We had a bathroom trip one time a day. I mean, one day during the 8 days. But I lived off of snow because I had cigarettes, and we bought them from the German guards. We parked in a railroad station with snow.
Wow.
The only reason it was warm enough was confined so much as plenty of
body heat.
Yeah.
Wow. So, gosh, I mean, this, how did you straighten your life out after this? I mean, this sounds almost like it was too much.
Well, I was a PTSD stress deal, but I was been in the veteran system since 46. In fact, in those days, they didn't have all these nice places that I was sent to. Palau Naval Hospital for a week on nerves conditions.
Hmm. So you've been in the veteran system now since World War II?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a percentage disability on scar tissue is what they gave to me originally.
Hmm. Wow. So what else can you tell us about this experience that sticks out in your memory? I mean, it's almost too much for some of us to comprehend this level of suffering.
I was even bayoneted once.
Wow. So how do you survive that, though? I mean, just suck it up and go in the corner and stop the bleeding? What?
You kind of learn to ride the waves, I guess.
Wow.
Are you planning on doing anything with your diaries? I mean, if somebody wanted to...
quite a few years ago, I understand the Academy wanted the diary, but I haven't heard from them 30, 40 years in regard to it, so I don't know if they still want it now. But I've donated an awful lot of items to a museum that's just outside of Beale. And if people haven't seen that, they should go down and go through it, because it has all your different wars, every medal, every uniform, including POW uniforms and so forth. It's about 500 yards before you go through the gate of Beale out of Marysville.
Hmm. But do you have some of the diaries still with you there at the home?
Oh, yes, and I have 45 pictures of historical pictures of, like, the signing of the peace treaty in the Missouri and signing of the peace treaties in Europe. And I also have pictures of the Hornet with the airplanes taking off to bomb Japan. And I also, one colonel that was on that raid was one that developed a tin bomb site so they wouldn't have to use a top secret bomb site when they bombed Japan. I've got a lot of different stories that people don't hear as a positive.
So you said after you were liberated by the Russians, it actually took 18 days to be repatriated to American forces. After that, how long were you still in Europe, or were you returned home pretty much immediately? Or
well, that's another story. Actually, on the Russian side, you'd see nothing but dead Germans. Once you crossed the line at Brussels, which was in Canadians, they had fences around maybe 1,000 or 2,000 with guards marching around and guiding them. They were still alive, but on the other side, the only ones were dead. most of our guards, a lot of them committed suicide or just melted into the thin air because they didn't. And if, as we traveled out, if the Germans knew we were Americans, they invited us to come in and stay with them, because if there was an American in the house with them, the Russians would usually leave them alone.
Interesting.
Otherwise, it was something else.
Well, somebody in the chat room, you know, says that, so you've lost the use of your arms and legs. When did that occur?
That occurred after I had been let out of the Over Massville Hospital, sent to what they called a lazarette at Meiningen. And, evidently it was from malnutrition, because I'd went down to 80 pounds on sulfur pills. If you've ever taken those big sulfur pills, you can't even hold a glass of water down.
Wow.
And I evidently had a small case of beriberi, which later, at the time, they didn't have any beds, so they said it was diphtheria, but actually I never had diphtheria in my life. My heart, liver, and spleen were enlarged when I got home. They're still oversized.
Well, you're 92 years old now, and I'll tell you, that's a testament to how tough you could be.
Well, they told me I probably wouldn't live for 30 years after I got out of the camp, but that was 70-some years ago, so we fooled them.
And you've received quite a few medals, haven't you, Big Al?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us about some of those medals?
Well, most of them are just regular issues, although I do have one from France, and I have one from England that your regular soldiers probably didn't get unless they were in something to do with that particular part of the country. And then, naturally, they had all the others that like European Theater and Air Medal, with Cluster and Purple Heart and so forth. Only my records aren't complete, so like Purple Hearts, I've only got the one. And that's a story in itself. If you were issued, like I was issued a Purple Heart at home to my folks and so forth way before the war or anything like that, then they turned around and give another Purple Heart to ex-POWs. They didn't give me one because I already had one. But that's government for you.
For our listeners who don't know what beriberi is, it's a malnutrition type of a disease. It affects your nervous system. You're not getting enough nutrition.
Well, you had a lot of that in the South Pacific. Lots and lots of beriberi. That was from malnutrition, from what diets and so forth.
So how did you come back from all this? I mean, what did you do? Start just eating good when you got finally to a place in America and taking care of yourself, and you just slowly got better?
Well, I went home to my home, and I'd also had a job before I went in, and I went back to it.
So you went back to the job before?
Same job, yeah.
Same job, wow. What a culture shock for after all this coming back, I would imagine. And you were suffering from post-traumatic syndrome as well?
Well, somewhat, I guess. I never looked at it that way, though. I learned to take things as they come and not surprised at what happens.
And which Air Force were you flying with? And what kind of aircraft were you in when you were shot?
B-24, Liberator.
Liberator, yeah.
It was the largest at the time. I was in Africa when they sent the first B-29s overseas to go to the South Pacific, which became the big plane and the one that ended the war.
Yeah.
Wow.
And which Air Force were you flying with? Or Air Corps?
I can't hear you.
Oh, I was asking which Air Force. I'm trying to remember the different
Eighth Air Force.
Oh. And had you flown the entire time out of England, or had you flown out of North Africa?
Well, we flew the southern route overseas to get over there, which is a story in itself.
Hmm.
We lost five airplanes before they've made a combat mission.
What, just from accidents and training?
Well, or? Accidents and bad weather and that's a long story in itself, I guess. That's another story.
So you were actually flying your missions out of North Africa then?
No, we just flew the southern route to get over there, but we had to go out and away from Europe because the Germans had planes that would come out to try to catch us getting into England.
Okay, so you were flying out of England and taking the southern route.
Well, we flew into England to fly out of England to make the air ridge, yes.
I see.
But the southern route, you went over from Portazel to Dakar and then up to Marrakech and then around the Horn to Wales and then to England.
Wow. Wow. So, gosh, I mean, what's it like to be on a bombing raid like that? I mean, what are you guys thinking? What are you guys feeling? Is it just a teamwork thing? I mean...
Well, I always said if you didn't have any religion, you
started
you
getting
got
some.
A certain amount of it when you were flying on that flak. And fighters come around.
So it's kind of like in the movies where you see the flak going off the bombs around the plane?
Yeah, it would sound like rain or hail.
Wow. Have you ever watched the Memphis Belle? Was it kind of like that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the shows. Somewhat, yes.
Somewhat.
Was it hard to go back up? I mean, after you flew a mission and you had all that going around you, and then...
Well, I thought very seriously after the second one where we'd had a bunch of fighters through, I would like to change jobs, but the colonel told all of us that go into town and have a drink or two and come back and you'll be ready again.
Wow. So what are you guys thinking? I mean, as far as your motivation, is this just survival? Is it about saving America from the Germans? What?
You never think it's going to happen to you, let's put it that way.
So you're just doing your job.
You're doing your job.
Hmm.
And how many missions had you flown prior to being shot down?
60 and a half.
Wow.
60 and a half?
Yeah.
That's a lot of missions.
Half was the one I went down on.
Yeah.
That's a lot of missions.
Wow.
We want to thank you for your service, that's for sure, and everything that you've done for us.
Well.
What was the name of your aircraft?
Well, we flew one by the name of Eager Beaver, which there was a lot of them, but we went down in Happy Hangover. we flew the Dissipated Duck overseas. Of course, there was a saying, if you got through 10 missions, you usually had a better chance, because when you flew those new airplanes over, they went to the old crews, and you got what had been there and done it before.
So what kind of, I mean, so these planes, when they come back, they're going back and forth. They're getting all shot up and holes and everything
right.
else in them. So they just keep repairing the same planes until they just won't fly?
That's right.
Wow, so.
That's right.
You guys.
We had a little more distance than the B-17, so we were stationed up in the northern part around Norwich and so forth, where the B-17 was down around London. That's one of the reasons the publicity was so much for B-17s, because people like Clark Gable and those that come overseas to take those rides, and the short rides got all the publicity.
Well, it seems to me then you would be on a first-name basis in good terms with the mechanics.
Well, that's true. Of course, the day before that we went down, we had to feather the one prop on account of being hit, and we had an oil leak, and darned if they didn't have it fixed the next morning. So we take off.
What happens if the plane's not serviceable? You just wait till you get a serviceable?
Until it is.
I see. So you just stay there until...
Unless it's late, might assign you to another airplane. Depends on what they were doing and what they needed and so forth.
Hmm. Wow, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I bet they serviced the planes quite often. They kept you busy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they made sure that you weren't on ground too long.
The people would fly them during the day and they worked them on at night. That's something like the loggers. where they drive the truck in the daytime and work on them at night.
Wow.
Wow. So you must have seen a lot of them not come back then. I mean, like you say, out of all these planes that went out, a lot of them shot down, a lot of them, you know, didn't make it back on the flight back because they were shot, you know, full of holes.
Well, in the different hospitals I was in, I've seen an awful lot of cases. There was a lot of burn cases, too, which were bad because of high octane gas being used in those airplanes, like the 17 had an electrical system, and the 24 had hydraulic, and they could fly probably 3,000-4,000 feet higher than we could because they could hold altitude better, although we were 10 miles an hour faster than they were. But the fighters, if they had a choice, probably would take the 24s because they perform better at lower altitude.
Do you think that if you had the choice to do this all over again, that you would have signed up?
I don't know. I've often thought of that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys got...
So, out at the home, how's things going for you out there at the home now?
That's a wonderful place. It's tops. You can't beat the service, you can't beat the people, and you can't beat the conditions.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. So if somebody wanted to come out and see you or look at your diaries, would you be willing to do that?
Well, I think so. If I knew ahead of time, I probably could be able to arrange it, yes.
Cool. All right.
I would think that, nice. You know, there's a story to be told here, a book to be written or something.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, he's got a lot. And he's got the diaries.
There's been a couple of write-ups in several magazines in England and a book out of Holland, but I haven't seen those. I do have some literature where the museum wrote and asked to put some of my records that I left with them up for so they could raise money and so forth.
Nice. Would you happen to know what the name of the book was?
Well, you got a magazine. I know I don't. I
no,
can't
you don't.
Tell you offhand. I never received a copy of the mail book, but I do have a book there where the author that wrote quite a few books wrote me a letter thanking me for some literature that I furnished him.
Well, we got about 4 minutes left till the top of the hour, and we get cut off. Have you got anything you want to tell everybody out there, you know, something that, you know, they would, you know, people wouldn't know about that, you know, you want to get out there?
Things were a little different in those days. we didn't have the proper training. The training that they get nowadays would have made a world of difference, but they wanted the bodies at that time, and they got them real fast, sent them over there unprepared, if you want to know the truth about it. And it's just one of those deals.
What was the average age of your crew?
Oh, from 19 to 25, probably.
Wow.
My pilot might have been a little older.
So how old were you?
I was 19.
You were 19. Wow.
Yeah.
I had a little more experience probably than some of them because I had made a few training missions with other crews.
So were you 19 when you went in or were you a little bit younger?
I was 19 when I went in.
Yeah.
I spent my 21st birthday in a...
concentration
hospital.
Hospital. Well, we're down to 2 minutes here, so
I just want to say we appreciate you coming on and sharing the time with us, and we want to thank you so much for your service and everything you've done for this country, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been a real honor to talk to you, sir. And
stop out, and maybe we can talk again.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we would like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful day.
I'll give you back to my... No, she says she doesn't.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it,
that's
sir.
It. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was kind of an amazing interview in a lot of ways.
Well, and it sounds like there's so much more to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, you know, what happened, and, you know, it's fascinating to me how much was given for this country. And, yeah, you know, the things that these guys went through to keep this country. And that's where a lot of the frustration comes through, and things when people won't do so much as to get off of their couch to defend it. In the smallest of ways, in the easiest of ways, in the safest of ways to defend and take our country back. And you look at the things that these guys went through.
Yeah, and they think they have it so hard nowadays.
Well, yeah. And you know, when they talk about the greatest generation, I mean,
there it is.
It's hard to argue it.
Yep, and we're at the top of the hour, and you've been listening to Sovereign Minds, KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Okay. We are obviously not at the top of the hour if you're following along with any kind of a clock, but what we heard there for the last 35, 40 minutes or so has been a replay, or was a replay, of our interview here on Sovereign Minds with World War II veteran Al Johnson that originally aired on Memorial Day weekend. Mark and Linda Kent and Red Smith, your host, wanted to replay it for this 4th of July weekend. Now, coming up after the top of next hour, we've got about another 40-minute interview that we did in the fall of last year with Ted Nugent, rocker Ted Nugent. That is coming your way as we continue with more Sovereign Minds on this 4th of July weekend. It's Sunday, July the 3rd, and you're tuned to AM 1460, and if you're listening online, kcnr.com. The program is Sovereign Minds.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you, but we're more than just gray houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Attention, parents. Redding School of the Arts is excited to announce the start of the Virtual School for the North State Community. This virtual independent study program for Shasta and neighboring counties will include students in grades kindergarten through 8th grade, and it supports immunized and non-immunized families. Redding School of the Arts will offer a superior educational program to meet the following goals: an alternative learning opportunity to traditional brick-and-mortar institutions, a tailored program that meets state standards, outstanding credentialed teachers, enrichment and tutoring on and off campus, and it's all part of a tuition-free public charter school. For more information, visit rsarts.org. That's rsarts.org. Or call us at 530-247-6933. That's 247-6933.
It's that time again for Anderson Explodes on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fair. Brought to you by Redding Kia, Wind River, Sierra Pacific Industries, B&B RV, Tri-Counties Bank, and B&T Satellite. Admission is free, so come down and join us for an evening of entertainment and celebration. Gates open at 4. Music starts at 5:30 with California Country, followed by Chad Bushnell at 7 and Cloverdale at 8. Kids' bounce houses and water slides, just $5 for the whole night. Food and drinks are available, including the annual 4-H FFA barbecue. Parking is just $4. We will see you July 3rd at Anderson Explodes.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Reading. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, July 7th in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fabulous evening with Bobby Veramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, and my special guest, Paul Send on trumpet. A night of the American Songbook from 7 to 9 p.m. Call 243-3377 for reservations. Romance on the River, July 7th. See you there.
This is Carl and the Bot. We're declaring our independence on the 4th of July, and all the employees of KCNR 1460 will be celebrating our Day of Independence. That is, everybody except Kyle and Jared, who'll be doing the Colt 45's baseball July 4th that evening, starting at 7:15. Regular programming begins again on July 5th. Have a wonderful 4th of July, and enjoy your Day of Independence and what it means.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds Radio. Mark Kent and Linda Kent enjoying the Independence Day weekend off. Red Smith was in earlier, did a couple of hours of Jefferson State of Mind along with co-host Wynn Carpenter earlier this morning. Thanks, guys. Here on Sovereign Minds, you heard wrap up several or a few minutes ago the interview that Mark and Linda did and read with Big Al Johnson, the World War II veteran, that originally aired on Memorial Day weekend this year. Coming up next hour, after the top of the hour news, we've got our interview with Ted Nugent that we did last year that we'll replay in its entirety. For the balance of this hour here on Sovereign Minds Radio, we'll call on Greg Hunter for a portion of this week's weekly news wrap-up with Greg here on AM 1460, Sovereign Minds Radio, KCNR.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for July 1st, 2016, Friday, July 1st. Happy 4th of July weekend. It is the WNW 244. My first story, bit of an offbeat lead, but I'll tell you why it is my first story. The FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton and her emails and her foundation and her influence peddling while she was Secretary of State, and she is the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, is a first ever story. This has never happened before. And I know the mainstream media is downplaying this. This makes Watergate look like one little boy spitting on another little boy to get his attention. This is a huge first ever of its kind story. And that's why this little piece of information, Bill Clinton, there's a headline, Bill Clinton, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, meet on a private plane. We are supposed to believe that Bill Clinton flew into Sky Harbor Airport in Arizona and said, oh, well, and found out that Loretta Lynch was coming in and waited for her on her private plane. And then he walked on the tarmac with his Secret Service escorts. You know, they didn't just let him stumble around out there because as an ex-president, he has Secret Service detail with him. And we're supposed to believe this is totally by coincidence that Bill Clinton on his private plane, who didn't know Loretta Lynch was coming in until just a little bit before, so he waited for her, and Loretta Lynch coming in on her private plane at a remote airport out in the western states, and we're supposed to believe this is a coincidence. We're also supposed to believe the Attorney General of the United States would put her career in jeopardy by meeting a possible suspect slash witness in the biggest political FBI case in the history of the United States. We're supposed to believe that Loretta Lynch talked with Bill Clinton about their grandkids for a half an hour. That is preposterous. That is so preposterous. You know, the mainstream media, well, we really have to, incidentally, the mainstream media did not cover this story. This is a huge wrinkle in this story. Loretta Lynch puts her career and her credibility and cast it in doubt to have some bogus meeting about grandchildren with a possible future witness and or a suspect in an ongoing FBI investigation, a first ever of its kind, who's the husband of the presumptive Democratic nominee. She's going to meet on a private plane in her plane for 30 minutes to talk about grandkids and golf and, you know, I don't know, yoga classes? Preposterous. That's absolutely unadulterated bullpucky. Preposterous. Somebody called a meeting. Now, who has the power? It's not Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's Barack Obama. Yes, I know he's going to be campaigning with Hillary Clinton, but I personally think that's part of the ruse. That's part of, well, I tried to get behind her. I think it's part of the ruse. But listen, the last time Hillary Clinton met with Barack Obama, it was at the White House, and according to Ed Klein, who is the author of the best-selling book Blood Feud, which documents the many ways the Clintons hate the Obamas and the Obamas hate the Clintons. Hate. And according to Ed Klein and his sources, who I heard him say this, he said that, you know, Hillary Clinton got so frustrated as she walked out, she turned around to Barack Obama and said, the president, and said, listen, Barack, call off your attack dogs. Something to that effect. Nobody's ever denied that claim. And listen, the book, Blood Feud, never been denied. It's well documented. Now, there's a poll on my site, and 53% of the people, about 6,000 people took this poll, 53% think that Clinton will never be indicted. 38%, and I fall there, I think there's about 9% that they don't know, but 38% think they will be. And if they were not going to indict Hillary Clinton, why have a meeting? If nothing was going to happen, and they could just sweep it all under the rug, why have a meeting? Somebody called a meeting. And I think it was Loretta Lynch. Now, she'll deny that, and this is just what I think, and I cannot prove any of this. I am totally speculating here. I don't think, what's Bill Clinton going to say? What's Hillary going to say? Please don't indict me. somebody called a meeting. Could it be that Loretta Lynch was saying, listen, we're going to have to lower the boom on Hillary? And I know, if you want to throw dirt on the president, then remember how you said you were broke when you left the White House? Well, you will be broke. We're going to shut down the Clinton Foundation. We're going to charge not only her, we're going to charge you, Mr. President, for taking all these speeches. We're going to charge your daughter. She's running the Clinton Foundation. We're going to charge her. She'll see her grandbabies when she's, you know, when they're getting ready to, you know, get into college or get out of college. Could something like that happen? They talk for a half an hour. Loretta Lynch put her reputation on the line. What she did was borders on being illegal. She could be charged for that. Possibly. So this was an important meeting, and it wasn't supposed to get out. It was a very important meeting. Who else could act as Hillary Clinton's emissary than Bill Clinton? And might I remind you, Bill Clinton was the Attorney General of Arkansas before he was the governor, and after that, of course, he was president. But he was the Attorney General of Arkansas. And somebody called a meeting, and I think it was Loretta Lynch, and I think they had that things are getting tight, that I think that before the Democratic Convention, I believe it's in Philadelphia, I think there's going to be a decision. And who knows, maybe Comey has been talking to Lynch and is saying, you either charge her, you either prosecute her, I'm going to release all of this stuff. I'm going to release it anyway. I mean, there's some hard, fast, big ball going on. And let me remind you, this has never happened in American politics ever, where the presumptive nominee of any party was under a full-blown investigation by the FBI for multiple crimes that make Watergate look like a playground prank. Somebody called a meeting. I can't prove this. I can't back it up. I am completely speculating. But I think there's no way that Bill Clinton found out that, while he flew in and he found out that Loretta Lynch was going to be landing on her private plane, they just happened to have a meeting on her private plane? Come on. Next up, I want to talk about, I'm going to stay with politics. I'm going to finish up with the economy, but the three amigos, it's like the three stooges. The president of the United States is Barack Obama, Trudeau, the middle guy, president of Canada, and the president of Mexico, who thinks Trump's Hitler, which is ridiculous. I mean, so you're comparing a guy that's never killed anybody to a guy that killed, responsible for the death of all you 27, 8 million Russians and 6 million Jews and millions of others and all the, he's Hitler. The president of Mexico was pushing for an American union. And, the president, Obama, all they did was just trash Trump. Obama trashing Trump, talking about how great the Trans-Pacific Partnership is. And to that I say, great, then this is a secret trade deal, which I think is a trade treason. It's a secret trade deal. And then you're going to release all this stuff so we can see how great this deal you're just so proud of. But no, it's all classified. Completely classified. And then you have Donald Trump, who's gaining traction. I mean, the AFL-CIO, the bigwigs are good. Well, they're behind Clinton. But the union guys are not behind Clinton. There's no way after that quip about West Virginia, we're going to ruin your union coal jobs. What? No, that ain't going to happen. Yet Trump, which I was surprised USA Today actually was fair about this. They actually, have a thing about globalization and trade, and he's dogging down the TPP, says it's a bad deal, it's a terrible deal. I like to call it trade treason because you don't really know the full deal. It's not going to be declassified, according to Paul Ryan, for 4 or 5 years. Right. It's so great, it's secret. It's so great for America, it's secret. And this is why they hate Donald Trump. There's word that they're going to try to push this thing through faster. And then you have, people like Mitch McConnell, the criminal cronies, and the Democrats on the side, and Obama. These are all globalist criminal cronies that aren't looking for the best interests of America. No way they are.
All right, that's the first part of Greg Hunter's weekly news wrap-up. We'll play some more of that after our interview with Ted Nugent that we at Sovereign Minds did here last fall. And we'll replay that in its entirety after the top of the hour news, and then we'll have time for a little more of Greg Hunter's weekly news wrap-up.
You're listening to Sovereign Minds Radio, hosts Mark Kent, Linda Kent, and Red Smith, and yours truly, Bob Martin, here on KCNR Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. ISIS is claiming a major terrorist bombing in Iraq today. 115 people dead, 187 wounded in a busy shopping area of Baghdad.
This attack comes as a major blow to the Iraqi government, which had actually made a lot of progress against the Islamic State and other parts of the country over the past few weeks and months. It was just a couple weeks ago that the government was able to retake the city of Fallujah, just west of Baghdad. So it had trumpeted that as a major victory against the extremist group, and this bombing comes as a large setback.
Correspondent Joseph Krauss, five other people were killed and 16 injured in a separate bombing east of the city. A day after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI, her supporters took to the Sunday morning talk shows to spread the message that she is a trustworthy presidential candidate. Labor Secretary Tom Perez on NBC and Senator Sherrod Brown on ABC both used the word trust repeatedly during their appearances. Republicans say if she were anyone else, she would have been indicted by now. President Obama called him the conscience of the world, a world that is remembering Elie Wiesel this morning, his passing yesterday at 87. The famed Holocaust survivor urged nations never to forget. Michael Zank is with the Elie Wiesel Center for Jewish Studies at Boston University.
If a country like Germany can turn into a negative civilization that destroys human lives and destroys their dignity as before they destroy the actual life, then all of humanity is in danger of destroying itself.
Wiesel passed away in New York City. A 91-year-old Vermont resident has been appointed to the French Legion of Honor for his distinguished service to France in World War II. James Fakus flew 30 missions with the 8th Air Force over France and Germany in 1944 as a ball turret gunner on a B-17 bomber. Fakus says he was startled but pleased to find out he is now a French knight. More on these stories at townhall.com.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. I have important information for homeowners. Mortgage rates have literally plummeted over the last few weeks, creating an incredible opportunity to save money. American Financing was founded on one simple principle: save homeowners money. They've helped many of our listeners do just that. American Financing's mortgage consultants are salary-based. They specialize in solutions, not counting commissions. It's called responsible lending. This may be your last opportunity to refinance at a new lower rate, even if you've refinanced your home as recently as a year ago. It's time to financially protect your family. Rates are back to historic lows, but they'll not stay there forever. Don't procrastinate. Call today, 866-420-6690. That's 866-420-6690. Or online at AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, America's home for home loans.
Donald Trump's selection of a vice presidential running mate could be crucial to easing concerns amongst Republican leaders. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
For those in the GOP worried about Trump's lack of political experience or his temperament to be commander-in-chief, the vice presidential pick could help ease those concerns. Tapping a political insider would also be a way for Trump to signal a willingness to work with the party establishment he has thoroughly bashed. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich are said to be on Trump's shortlist. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The United Arab Emirates is warning its citizens to avoid wearing traditional garments while traveling abroad after an Emirati man was handcuffed in Ohio over terrorism fears last week. Ahmed Al-Mahali was detained at gunpoint in Avon, Ohio, after a hotel clerk raised suspicions that he could have links to ISIS. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. This weekend gives women motorcyclists a chance to mark the historic journey of two sisters from Brooklyn who became the first to ride their cycles from coast to coast.
It was in 1916 that Augusta and Adeline Van Buren wanted to prove that they could be military motorcycle couriers, able to ride long distances in harsh conditions during wartime. So they completed their 5,000-plus-mile journey, but were still turned down by the Army because they were women. To mark the 100th anniversary of that ride, BMW and the Indian Motorcycle Company are sponsoring a 3-week motorcycle adventure for women that will follow, as closely as possible, the original route from Brooklyn to California. Bud Agnew reporting.
Today is Sunday, July the 3rd, and it's a birthday for some notable people, including actor Tom Cruise, who is 54 years old. Jazz musician Pete Fountain turns 86 years old today. Actress Olivia Munn has 36 candles on her cake. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, once again, Sovereign Minds, here on AM 1460 KCNR. Again, to recap the morning, Jefferson State of Mind hosts Red Smith and Wynn Carpenter. They stayed over an extra hour to host the first hour of Sovereign Minds here this morning. Mark Kent and Linda Kent are off this weekend for the 4th of July holiday weekend. Last hour, we heard the interview that we did over Memorial Day weekend with Big Al Johnson, the World War II veteran. And right now, we're about to hear the interview from last October that Sovereign Minds did with rocker Ted Nugent. That's coming your way next here on AM 1460 KCNR, right after these messages.
Axiom Repertory Theater, in cooperation with Tams Whitmark, presents Cabaret. Choreography by Ronnie Grandel. Musical direction by Adam Ferris and directed by Ken Hill. Catch this dazzling performance of Cabaret live at the Anderson Performing Arts Center, June 16th through July 3rd, with special cabaret seating available. Tickets range in price from $10 to $20. Life's a cabaret, my friends. Come to the Cabaret, June 16th through July 3rd, at the Anderson Performing Arts Center. To purchase your tickets, visit axiomrepertorytheater.com.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, July 7th, in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fabulous evening with Bobby Veramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, and my special guest, Paul Sen, on trumpet. A night of the American Songbook from 7 to 9 p.m. Call 243-3377 for reservations. Romance on the River, July 7th. See you there.
The construction sale continues this month at Redding Kia at the temporary location on Cypress Avenue in Redding. Come take a look at what Redding Kia has to offer.
Like the all-new 2016 Kia Optima, head-turning good looks, great gas mileage, room for five, and amazingly affordable.
And if you're looking for an SUV, you can't do better than the completely redesigned 2016 Kia Sorento. It's available in all-wheel drive with room for up to seven passengers.
There's something for everyone at Redding Kia. Choose eight different models in stock and ready to take home today, and every new Kia sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations.
Financing? They have the lowest rates anywhere.
Trade-ins? Their goal is to give you more for your trade than any other dealer.
Happiness? Redding Kia is spreading it throughout Northern California with a commitment to the communities they serve.
Redding Kia is currently sponsoring Anderson's Mosquito Serenade Summer Concert Series.
The construction sale continues at Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress, Facebook, YouTube, and RedingKia.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds here on AM 1460 KCNR. You are hearing the guitar work of Ted Nugent there. Again, we now bring you the Sovereign Minds interview with Uncle Ted that was conducted in October of last year. That's coming your way now in its entirety here on Sovereign Minds Radio on AM 1460 KCNR.
So I guess we'll just go ahead and get started. I mean, I have my first question here. This may sound a little flippant, but what party are you a member of? Are you Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent? Nobody really knows. I'm not sure if you want to state that, but I thought that would be a great question to ask you.
Sure, and I'll tell you what, if I may, on behalf of the Nugent family and all real Americans, I'd like to say how proud I am to be on a radio station in Redding, California, the real California. So God bless the real California, not to be confused with what we refer to as the suburb of Indonesia, the rest of California.
The People's Republic.
That being said, I started my own damn party. It's called the Middle Finger Party of Defiance because the Republicans and the Democrats are all a bunch of weirdos. They wouldn't know a self-evident truth if it landed on their head and spun around till flames came out of their eyeballs. I'm really let down. I really believe that this engineered destructo derby that is the fundamental transformation of a bunch of liars and corrupt, lying, fraudulent scammers that run our government right now is absolutely heartbreaking, because I spend a lot of time with the heroes, the very superior humanity of the U.S. Marines, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Coast Guard, the U.S. Air Force, the Air National Guard, and the National Guard in every state in this nation, and that these warriors and their families are sacrificing to the degree that they do, while our elected employees, starting at the top with President Obama, right down through his gun-running Attorney General Eric Holder, and his lying scam artist Secretary of State, Miss Hillary, you get no security, Clinton. I am just angered beyond description, but mostly heartbroken that this government has turned so viciously, so criminally, on not just we the people, but their own solemn oath to stand up, defend, and respect the U.S. Constitution, that I don't think the Republicans or the Democrats represent an experiment in self-government any longer. And we the people damn well better rise up, because it's out of control and it's anti-American.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's exactly how I feel, more than you can know. What do you think is the agenda here? I mean, do you think this is an accident? These guys are just all about self-promotion. I mean, why do you think this agenda is in place? I mean, is it just an accident and, an explosion in the print room creating a dictionary? Or is it, what is it? I mean, what do you think their motivation is?
Well, if you can bear with me, because I not only wrote Wango Tango, but I meant it. So we have to get past the fact that I didn't invent silly, but I have perfected it. But when it comes time to being the most important person in the world, which is, means I'm my children's father, and I'm my wife Shemaine's husband, and I am a we the people experimenter in self-government who does and always has kept pressure on my elected employees, I can tell you exactly what happened, and I'll try to briefly encapsulate the lineage, and it goes something like this. The founding fathers knew that the king didn't own the deer. Our founding fathers knew that they were more than happy to leave the oppression of tyranny and punks like kings and dictators and go to a brave new world where we the people owned the deer, where we the people had the right to keep and bear arms, where we the individual people could choose our own religion, not the punk king. And so independence was declared, and individual work ethic, not social justice and not income equality, effort equality would base your compensation, And if you saved for a rainy day and lived within your means, the American dream was unstoppable. Now, jettison many, many years past the manifestation destiny and other clusters in our history, and go right to World War II, where clearly the United States of America was the good as we crushed the Japanese and the Nazi evil. Everybody knew that, so Americans were so proud, so united, and the rest of humankind looked at America as independent, free people who were willing to die for security, safety, peace, and justice against evil oppressors. The whole world was united behind. Now, this is pretty good. By the way, I didn't write history books, but it sounds like I should. But I'm so feeling my oats right now because I spent this morning talking to a U.S. Marine Corps hero who has sacrificed his legs for us, and how I'm getting him a track chair so he can become more mobile because we the people owe him for his legs. So my energy level may be a little over the top for a 67-year-old clean and sober guitar player for 67 years. But then we go past the World War II, where the whole world was united in the universal understanding and in acknowledgement that America was the good. America was more powerful because individual people were driven for individual accomplishment and excellence to be the best that they can be so they would be compensated accordingly. And we built the might, we built the strength, and then we stood up against the abject evil of the Japanese and the Nazis. And then we took it for granted because it was so universal that America was the best of the best that all of a sudden the scammers came in with their New Deal, which was a raw deal, which wasn't a helping hand for people. It was a scam to take from the productive earners in America to give to those who refused to earn, who thought you were a chump, a loser, for earning your own way. And from the New Deal and the not-so-great society, the pimps, the whores, and the welfare brats now had a representative government where they would take from the earners and just wantonly, randomly redistribute it to those who didn't earn it. Therefore, Cabrini Green, there was no pride of ownership because they didn't put forth squat of an effort to get something that they were proud of. So there was no pride. Now go to the next horror chapter. When we were so spoiled, we had our six-pack and our NFL tickets, so it really didn't matter if they were living outside of their means. They didn't really matter if they were scamming and putting pork in every legislation that crossed their path. It didn't matter whether our elected employees could take our tax dollars and hire armed security details while the elected employees who had tax-paid armed security details disarmed Americans in California and Illinois and New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and Delaware and Massachusetts and Maryland. And so now we've got the fundamental transformation, which by all honest examination is the destructo derby of the greatest quality of life based on effort, excellence, and work ethic. And now it has been scammed down where the Secretary of State not only doesn't naturally provide security for Americans in dangerous places, the Secretary of State, Hillary scam artist Clinton, not only didn't provide security, she denied it when it was begged for in emergency life-threatening situations. You've got to be kidding me.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, people say that, you know, it's charitable to redistribute the wealth, but charity that's coerced is no longer charity. It's extortion.
Not only is it not charitable, but you're actually bribing people to be idiots.
Right.
Hey, go ahead and sleep in, get fat and stupid, and we'll give you a bonus. Who doesn't know this? I would love to take live phone calls because if someone tries to debate me on this stuff, I would eat their family tree and spit sawdust. You can't argue with this. We have a welfare nation where over 100 million people are acting French. They've either given up looking for work or they have a list of jobs they're not willing to do. I can't imagine anybody in the Nugent family or my band or my crew or our Spirit of the Wild production or our Sunrise. I can't imagine anybody I've ever known that would give up looking for work or dare to intentionally weaken America by having a list of jobs they're not willing to do, yet those two terms have become an accepted colloquialism in the new fundamentally transformed hellhole that Obama has engineered because he hates freedom, he hates America, he hates the Constitution, he hates self-defense, and he hates excellence. The guy is a curse.
Wow. You know, the media is always trying to push the Second Amendment is about hunting. What do you say?
Yeah, and Richard Pryor's afro catching on fire was an accoutrement. and I'm a gay pirate, yeah. You know, I'm glad I'm getting some laughter because that concept has to be funny, or you'd have to find the person who actually think our founding fathers were worried about weekend recreational pursuits to get some barbecue as a fundamental God-given individual right, even though it is. The Second Amendment. Here, my name is Ted Nugent, everybody. I'm 67 years clean and sober, so everything's still working pretty good. I may be the only example of that alive, especially alive. And let me explain the Second Amendment to you real simple. And I don't need it written down, by the way. I don't even need the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. I don't even really need the document of the U.S. Constitution because to me, to a thinking, caring, reasonably intelligent individual, those are self-evident truths. I didn't need to be told that I had the right to defend myself. So allow the Motor City Madman to explain the Second Amendment to my fellow Americans. And by the way, most people in Reading already know this, but in case some idiot in San Francisco is listening, he might want to learn a little something. Here it goes. Keep means it's mine. You can't have it. Bear means I've got a couple on me right now, and they're loaded. Case closed.
Pretty simple.
Well, and it's about defense of tyranny is what it's really about. I mean, the founding fathers, they and the colonists, they weren't, you know, worried about hunting and, like you say, putting barbecue on the table. They were worried about their own government taking their rights and turning them into slaves. I mean, that's what the amendment's about. It's about staying free.
Sure. And, you know, I wish that, you know, if I was in charge, and by the way, I am in charge of the Nugent family, which is why the Nugent family is so damn cool. We're very productive. We're very conscientious. We're very giving. We give to every imaginable children's charity and every military charity known to man. And we work really, really hard, and we live within our means, and we save for a rainy day. Boy, are we radical. But here it is in a nutshell. What has happened to our individual rights in this country, what has happened to the Second Amendment, is a manifestation of a dumbing down jihad by government, media, and academia, who will never report the millions of times that someone with a personal firearm on their person was able to stop a life-threatening crime. But they will report over and over again when violence happens and the perpetrator uses a firearm, it's always about the firearm. And when they and when the Barack Obama sheep parrot his lie that we need common sense gun safety legislation. I own a few hundred guns, and on occasion we just lay them out on tables and just genuflect. But all my guns are safe. And it's common and sensible to know that these tools are manufactured with such excellence and such pride that every gun in America today that has been manufactured in the last 75 to 100 years, it already is safe. It's the perpetrators that are unsafe, whether it's Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook, Oregon, Aurora, Colorado, Columbine, in every one of these mass murder outrages, the perpetrators were known by family, co-workers, neighbors, people at church and school to be dangerous, psychotic people. Yet nothing was done because in the world of political correctness, We were more interested in not hurting feelings than saving innocent lives. And if you dare to close your eyes and think of what transpired in Connecticut at Sandy Hook School, if you dare concentrate where these little innocent babies were in their school seats, and this known madman, known by his mother, his father, his extended family, his neighbors, his friends at school, he was 100% universally known to be a dangerous, crazy individual, and there was no recourse. And then squint and furrow your brow and think of these little boys and girls that this devil opened fire on, and he slaughtered them with the toxic soul of a demon. And here's why he was able to continue firing randomly, methodically, and slowly, and reloading, because magazine capacity had nothing to do with it. Ballistics had nothing to do with it. Firepower and caliber had nothing to do with it. Firearm action had nothing to do with it, because he had no one to resist him. As in every one of these mass slaughters, yeah, it was a gun-free zone where the good guys were forced into disarmed helplessness, both mentally and tactically, and he was able to slaughter these innocent babies because of political correctness and our elected employees failing we the people to a criminal, life-slaughtering level. If that doesn't make you cry tears of blood and make you see through the lies of President Obama, the lies of Hillary Clinton, the insanity that anyone who has to admit that every one of these mass slaughters occurred in a gun-free zone, and then these insane monsters in our government and the media and academia actually want more gun-free zones. Well, you've got to be kidding me.
That's absolutely true, Ted, and this is Red here. And speaking of these things, it's been greatly on my mind here lately. I lost a friend of mine up in Roseburg a couple weeks ago. And
I'm so sorry. Our prayers are with all those whose hearts are shattered, because the Nugent family prays, because our hearts are shattered too, because it didn't need to happen. There was a U.S. military warrior there who charged, and because of our government, our media, and our academia, he, a hero of the military, was forced into unarmed helplessness, and he got shot seven times and was not able to stop the guy because somebody didn't trust a U.S. Army warrior with a firearm. You gotta be kidding me.
That's absolutely true. And
everything I say is absolutely true. You know, I'm just a guitar player, but I've never been in a gun-free zone, because when I show up, it's no longer a gun-free zone. I have the right to keep and bear arms. My gift of life from God is worth protecting, and I have a moral, spiritual, and intellectual obligation to defend my life from the engineered, paroled monsters, murderers, rapists, and child molesters that our so-called court system and justice system forces into our lives every day. That nutcase up in Oregon was known to be dangerous. Everybody knew it, and nobody said a word. It's time to speak up, and it's time to raise hell, and it's time to get our elected employees to represent we the good people instead of worrying about hurting someone's feeling because they're somewhat deranged. If you're deranged, we would like you to fly over the cuckoo's nest, not go to school with our children.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I make so much sense I can hardly stand myself.
Well, that's the thing that's got me is just incensed, is because I know my friend, if it had not been a gun-free zone, he would have been armed and he would have been able to defend himself that day.
Well, let me put it in real simple terms for you. Rosa Parks It was against the law to put her black ass on the seat of the bus. And Rosa Parks went, you know what? My soul tells me that my black ass deserves to sit where anybody's ass gets to sit. I'm putting it on the seat of the bus. Arrest me, you inbred, subhuman KKK punk. Rosa Parks is my hero. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Well, nullification, taking back our rights by not complying. I mean, that's what we're saying, too. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to, is are you going to have the government tell you what your rights are, or are we going to exercise our God-given ones?
Well, and again, it goes right back to the horror that transpired, you know, following World War II, and that was the self-inflicted scourge of apathy. So many Americans are clueless. When you see the average roving reporter on the street asking, you know, what the three branches of government are, and people start talking about oak trees and stuff, and asking who their senator and congressman or their governor or their mayor is, and these people are clueless. I think half the nation is drunk and stoned. I've never seen such stupidity. And you know what? You know why people are stupid? Because they chose to be stupid. And those people are voting for liberal Democrats. And in every instance where liberal Democrats run things, they destroy things and innocent lives are lost because they see that gun-free zones are the murderer's playground, and then they like gun-free zones. I'm telling you, this wouldn't qualify as a Mad Magazine, Planet of the Apes, Clockwork, Dayglo, Orange, Cuckoo's Nest. This is sheer insanity, and the puppeteers of the insanity are the government, the media, and academia. They hate America. They hate freedom. They don't believe that anybody should be able to defend themselves, and they have got to be counterpunched. They have got to be run out of office. They've got to be voted out of control-making positions, and we the people have to take back what is clearly common sense. And boy, one of these days I'm going to come back on with you guys, and we'll take some live phone calls, because to see somebody try to call in and form a sentence, to form syllables and to argue with me, is more fun than watching Richard Pryor's afro ignite. So I know what I represent. I know what I represent is so true. It's so obvious unless you're on acid.
Well, while we have you on the phone, Uncle Ted, this is Linda, by the way, speaking. I know that you are kind of having a debate, if you want to call it that, with Verizon, with dropping Sportsman Channel and the Outdoor Channel. Can you touch upon that a little bit?
Well, there's another example of, you know, the culture war. Maybe a manifestation of cultural deprivation. I mean, to think that, you know, hunting, fishing, and trapping would be banned tonight if Feinstein, Pelosi, Jerry Brown, and those idiots had their way. And, of course, everybody in California knows that Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein orchestrated the slaughter of magnificent elk and mule deer on the island off the coast there because they were not indigenous, even though, like, the ringneck pheasant across the heartland has become a super asset, a super wildlife success story. But because they hate hunting, they hate guns, they hate conservation, and they hate we the people owning the deer instead of the king owning the deer, they went in with our tax dollars and helicopters and slaughtered our wildlife and just let them lay there to rot. And nobody's gone out to those islands anymore because there's no need to go hunt deer and elk like we used to and generate all that family hours of recreation and all that revenue. But my point is that what's going on all across this country, what's going on in California, is a direct result of we the people not performing our responsibilities to engage, to participate in the sacred experiment of self-government. So I'm just a hellraiser, and I study this stuff, and what we saw on Outdoor Channel and Sportsman's Channel is the incredibly high-rated, successful presentation and celebration of hunting, fishing, and trapping as the undeniably proven, value-oriented, hands-on conservation success story, which is why there's more cougars, more bear, more elk, more deer, more wild turkey and wild geese in North America than ever in recorded history. In fact, there's more backstraps from cougar and black bear and elk and deer and wild turkey and geese in my freezer than in recorded history, because I am the damn whack master. The point is that Verizon, infested with hippies an anti-nature, anti-hunting, anti-conservation idiots. They canceled, Verizon canceled the successful Sportsman's Channel and Outdoor Channel, of which our Spirit of the Wild show had been number one for 23 years in a row. That's no fun at all. But here's the clincher. They canceled the successful conservation programs, really good programs on Sportsman's Channel and Outdoor Channel. But Verizon kept Al Jazeera, the voice of America's enemies. I mean, Alfred E. Newman wouldn't have allowed this to be in Mad Magazine. It's so stupid. Saturday Night Live probably wouldn't even do a skit on this because it's too stupid. So I can't figure this out. When logic is abandoned, when common sense and honesty is abandoned to cancel these successful Sportsman's Channel and Outdoor Channel, but Verizon keeps Al Jazeera, I guess the same reason that Bernie Sanders thinks that the Karl Marx Mao Zedong dream might work this time.
Well, we here in the North State of California sincerely apologize for Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Brown, Boxer, and Feinstein.
Gavin Newsom.
And Gavin Newsom. We are serious. Let me tell you something.
I got a lot of friends in California. I love playing rock and roll, and I love blacktail hunting in California. I got some great working hard, playing hard, real excellent asset families in Northern California, including my mother's wonderful sister, Nancy McMenamin, and her incredible family. And my son, Rocco, and wife, Shemaine, and I celebrated their birthdays here back in July up in the wine country, up in Napa Valley up there just before the terrible fires, which, again, I'll mention that our family prayers are with all the poor families who had their life savings and beautiful homes destroyed by fire.
Which is mismanagement by the government.
Here's the real clincher. Illinois isn't Chicago, but the vicious dog wags that tail. Michigan is not Detroit, but that rabid dog wags that tail. California is not really L.A. and San Francisco, but those freedom-hating, vicious mutts wag the California tail. So here's my prayer to real Californians. If you're not registered to vote, thanks for nothing. If you don't communicate with your elected employees on a regular basis, I mean monthly at least, we'd like to thank you for nothing. If because you're making a good living and the outrageous, absurd, criminal regulations, the anti-constitution, the anti-freedom regulations that just destroy California, I mean, the gun regulations in California are just laughable. So I can have an AR-15, but I can't have lead ammo, and I can only detach the magazine with a tool, but the bullet qualifies as a tool. Really? Really?
Well, that...
And this is making people safer. How? So those that let this stuff happen, it's not the perpetrators that are really guilty. It's the people of California who sit idly by and let it happen. Now, I know that there's some activists. The Gun Owners of California is an incredible organization, and the different sporting organizations. God bless you all who are members of the National Rifle Association in California, Gun Owners of California, Gun Owners of America, and all the conservation groups. But you haven't prodded your family and friends and co-workers and friends at church and school. You haven't got them going yet. You've got to make that job number one is to inspire everybody in your life to communicate with your elected employees and remind them of their vow to the Constitution, their oath to the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, because they violate it on an hourly basis. I mean, stop and think, California. There is a vile, evil, criminal, violating wicked witch of the West that actually said on the House floor in Washington, D.C., you don't need to read this. You need to sign it to find out what's in it, and your little doggy, too. I mean, what creature is Nancy Pelosi, and why isn't that bitch in shackles yet? How dare you tell that to the elected employees of American citizens, that they don't need to read it, they need to sign it? And she's still walking free?
That's we hear.
Can you imagine
the,
if one of your friends came to you and I got this contract for you for the timber on your property? You don't need to read it. You need to sign it to find out what's it. You'd cold cock him.
Well, that's
am I out of my mind or is the out of the other mind?
I think you're just fine, Ted.
Yeah, you're doing.
And we here in the North State actually have a very diligent group that is petitioning for an Article 3, Section 4 state split from California. We actually have 12 counties that have declared to separate themselves from California and form our own state here.
Boy, then you'd be squeezed between the ultra-liberal goofballs of California and the ultra-goofball liberals of Oregon, which is worse.
Well, I'll take the squeeze other than them sitting in the middle of my chest.
Boy, that would be great. God bless you for that. But I got to tell you, California is so beautiful. The people are such gung-ho, serious, ass-kicking rock and rollers. You got some of the greatest hunting and shooting organizations up there. You got the heart and soul of America and the agriculture business up there and the timber industry. Oh, man, you got the greatest people that ever lived up in California. But they're being manipulated and offended by the punks down in L.A. and in San Francisco. And somebody's got to reverse this trend. It's almost over, Rover.
Well, yeah. They're committing economic and cultural warfare against us. Absolutely.
Well, God bless you guys. It sounds like you genuflect at the same altar of self-evident truth, logic, and common sense that I do, and I suspect most people in Reading do, so God bless and Godspeed. But obviously, we who know better are not raising adequate hell because it still hasn't shown any sign of reversing this outrageous anti-American trend that ruins California. So I just hope everybody's willing to, and I know it's a pain in the ass, believe me. I mean, it's October here in Michigan. I killed two beautiful giant swamp donkeys with my bow and arrow this morning, and my dogs are just dying to get out there after some pheasant and some birds. And I'm giving up a little time to do this radio interview because I know that what I live and what I believe in is the basis of the American dream, being the best that you can be and sticking to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Golden Rule and the Ten Commandments. I mean, hello. But I've been a hellraiser all my life, and I have, on my record last year, Shut Up and Jam, I have a song called I Still Believe, which Linda can get you a copy of because you got to play it before and after the show.
We will.
And I know that I represent a bunch of people that do still believe. We still believe the whole world sucks, but America still sucks less. But we're catching up real fast unless we take this great experiment self-government away from the liberal Democrats who hate it, who hate us. If you're in the asset column of America, Nancy Pelosi thinks you're a chump.
Well, you know, we're working on it, Ted, and it's starting to turn the ship. We really are up here. You know, we've talked to the Madison Rising guys about possibly doing a concert. Would you be interested in something like that? Maybe talk to us, afterwards or another time on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love my rock and roll. I took this year off to teach all my grandkids how to hunt and fish and trap and skin and gut and fillet and barbecue, you know, all the important things in life. And next year, we're putting out a brand-new record in the spring of 2016. We're going to hit the road next summer. And I've always had just some of the greatest concerts a guy could ever dream of in California. So thank everybody for that for me. And, yeah, I'd love to do that, man. Wherever there's adequate electricity and people ready to dance like animals, my music is necessary.
Yeah, because we want to get all the veterans that we can in the northern part of the state involved in this, too.
Yeah, we're
absolutely. Well, the heroes of the military are the best human beings that ever lived.
And we could get you into some pig and some blacktail here, too.
You know, I killed some nice blacktail, but I got to tell you, I couldn't possibly finish this interview without saying that the great men and women of the California Fish and Wildlife have done a pretty good job over the years, but shame on them. Shame on them with what they have, how they've spit in the face of the majestic mountain lion. You're still killing them, but it's in the liability column. It's not generating any revenues for the state. In fact, it's gouging your taxes to compensate ranchers and farmers and people for their pets. It's a dangerous situation. And then they just kill them and bury them. You know, mountain lion backstrap is some of the best meat in the world, and the claws and the teeth and the skull and the bones and the hide. These are majestic gifts from the Great Spirit. And California fish and game biologists watch these animals get buried in the liability column instead of legalizing lion hunting in the asset column? Shame on you! What biology class did you skip?
What do you think about the new ammunition thing that Gavin Newsom's coming out with? I mean, I obviously know what you think about it, but evidently he's got a new proposed ballot initiative for 2016 that will strengthen gun laws by restricting ammunition sales and requiring gun owners to turn in assault-style magazines in large capacity, and then also to have a background check on them as well. Have you heard about that yet, Ted?
Well, you know, I don't even really need to hear about it, but I got a little message for Gavin Newsom. Hey, Gavin, eat me. Nothing he proposes will save one life. Nothing he proposes will make the streets of California safer. Nothing he proposes will have any benefit for whatsoever except to continue to violate his oath to the Constitution and infringe on California's God-given individual constitutionally guaranteed right to keep and bear arms. Gavin Newsom is a punk. He's a criminal, and he's been infringing forever. And infringing on the Second Amendment is a federal crime, and he should be put in shackles and put in jail, along with the guy who killed that Kate Sinley.
Well, you know, the thing is that the ship is turning around, I think, and people are finally starting to, you know, to push back. But it's going to be a long, hard road. There's no question about it, because these guys have gotten a lot of control, and California isn't anywhere what it like it used to be. We need to reverse this Reynolds versus Sims court case so that we start have representatives in the North State for each county, as opposed to, you know, L.A.'s got, you know, 30 representatives to our one for the whole North State. That's part of the problem, is that they've really jerry-rigged the whole system to in favor of the big population centers, and we got to reverse that.
Oh, yeah, the liberal Democrats of California laugh at you all. They spit in your face, and they think that you don't matter. So, yeah, you have your work cut out for you. But remember, an experiment in self-government is a full-time job. Being a proper, responsible, productive, we the people monitoring our elected employees is indeed a full-time job. And the reason it has been so terribly and criminally infringed is because so many we the people across this country are not performing their duties.
Boy.
So God bless you all for being hellraisers. You know, if one word identified an American adequately, and this is one word, hellraiser. You have to be a hellraiser. You have to stand up for our individual, self-evident, truth-based, logical, God-given, constitutionally guaranteed rights, and it's a full-time job. So those of you who are performing that full-time job, God bless you.
Boy.
I salute you, because here's the pain. A hero of the military came home in a box so that you can have an experiment in self-government. How dare you not be part of that experiment?
Well, you said a mouthful there, yeah. Mr. Ted. Listen, we got one more question.
We got one more question real quick. Who is your favorite presidential candidate at this point?
Well, my favorite is Donald Trump, because he's a hellraiser. He's not perfect. I really admire Carly Fiorina. She is awesome. I think Dr. Ben Carson would make a great leader. Ted Cruz happens to be my favorite of all, because he's the best rounded individual, and he's so constitutionally driven. But I'm pleased with Trump and with Fiorina and with Ben Carson and Ted Cruz. I really admire these guys, and I admire a lot of the rest of them too. But this is do or die, 2016. If this scam artist, if this criminal Hillary Clinton can continue the suicide death wish of America as perfected by Barack Obama, we're going to get just what we asked for, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, if she's not indicted before this is over, I'm not sure she's going to make it to the election, because these emails are dripping, and sooner or later.
Yeah,
I think,
what difference does her email? You know, she broke federal law.
Yep.
What difference does that make? She's representing the people of the United States of America in foreign relations, and she criminally abused her email server and her personal server. What difference does that make?
Yeah, I guess being an agent for a foreign government, anything like that, being paid off by foreign interest, yeah, I mean, why, that's a problem.
Well, sure, she was broke when she left the White House. Haven't you heard?
She's one of the little people.
It was a video that caused the riots in Benghazi. Aren't you guys reading the papers?
No.
No.
No, we're actually not.
Unfortunately.
We're
actually
let me tell you guys, it was an honor to be on here with you, because I think we all, like I said, we all genuflect at the altar of self-evident truth, logic, and common sense. So Linda and Red and Mark, God bless you all, and God bless everybody up there in the real California. Thank you for making our Spirit of the Wild show the number one show on Outdoor Channel. Thank you for all these outrageous, fire-breathing, gravity-defying years of rhythm and blues and rock and roll with the greatest bands in the world. God bless you all for that. So stand your ground, never give up, never back down, never give in. And if you're not raising hell, you might as well move to France.
Thanks,
Ted. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, we really appreciate you, and God bless your family as well.
All right, happy hunting season. Godspeed.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
And there you have it, a replay of our interview from October of last year with Uncle Ted. Ted Nugent being interviewed by Mark Kent, Linda Kent, and Red Smith, your hosts here on Sovereign Minds Radio. For the remainder of this final hour of Sovereign Minds, we'll hear some more from Greg Hunter's weekly news wrap-up when we return, just ahead of We the People, coming your way live after 12 noon with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Do you have an aging parent who needs extra help at home? Do you have concerns about your family member driving, remembering to take medications, or eating a healthy meal? Hi, my name is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Our compassionate caregivers work in clients' homes and can help with light housekeeping, meal planning, med reminders, hygiene assistance, and much more. All staff is background checked, bonded, and insured. To make a difference in your loved one's life, call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or online at readinghomehelpers.com. When family can't do it all, your Home Helpers family can.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back in our final few minutes of Sovereign Minds Radio this morning. We'll pick up where we left off last hour and continue Greg Hunter's weekly news wrap-up.
No way. And because we're talking about politics, here's USA Today, who has this Benghazi 800-page Benghazi report. They didn't even mention Hillary Clinton in this story. They mentioned her in a report. You know, she lied about it being a video. She went, where there are the families of the fallen, said, we're going to get those people that did that video. But they made USA Today, you know, covering their candidate, made sure they didn't even mention Hillary Clinton. Of course, they mentioned her someplace else where, you know, she's doing great and got a great package, a great, idea for, Silicon Valley. They love her. But nothing about that. And, you know, here's the other, the biggest thing that they had nothing about. Rand Paul was one of the many people that charged that they, you know, Hillary Clinton was running guns, rifles, and RPG to Syrian ports and to Turkey. This is not a big stretch, folks. Remember that vehicle I told you, Mark A1 Plumbing with the number on it that got sold in Houston and ended up, being shipped to Turkey. And then lo and behold, a few months later, it's got an ISIS machine gun mounted on the back of it. Yeah. Right, and then Seymour Hersh talking about how Pentagon and ISIS, the famed reporter Seymour Hersh, who I believe, as Pentagon and CIA are at odds in Syria. They're actually their proxies are fighting each other. Seymour Hersh charged that the Pentagon is actually helping Assad and the CIA is helping ISIS. Which when I see this about the airport in Turkey and Turkey buying oil. ISIS oil and funding oil, and we're months, I'm asking, why aren't they bombing these oil facilities? Well, Russia finally did, and here we have this attack that kills dozens and injures a few hundred in Turkey. It's ISIS. So, well, if this isn't a case of a scorpion biting you, the scorpion got on the back of the dog and said, let's go across this stream, and halfway through, the scorpion bites the dog, and the dog says, you said you weren't going to do that, and the scorpion says, I am a scorpion. That's what I do. ISIS. This is what ISIS does. These are the people that Turkey backs. ISIS. The CIA backs ISIS. Forget this Free Syrian Army thing. At some point, a long, long time ago, maybe there was a Free Syrian Army. The Kurds, they're good guys. But the Free Syrian Army, please stop. This is ISIS. This is Al-Qaeda. These are terrorists. Rand Paul brought up, along with many other people, that Hillary Clinton, State Department, and the CIA were running guns to Syria. The U.S. government, the spy agencies, at least some of them, were running guns and equipment from Libya that they captured from Gaddafi and were running them through Turkey to Syrian ports. They were running them there. And it was, according to the Washington Examiner in 2015, that was true. That charge was true. Nothing in the Benghazi report about that, which is shameful for both parties. We're funding and supporting terrorists to do our bidding. I'll tell you, just before the 9/11/12, you had Putin, and now there's reports that Russians really do have all of Clinton's emails, and that there's reports of the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, they all hacked her server that she was using to basically, in my opinion, cover her tail for working deals and selling influence and getting donations to the Clinton Foundation. And, you know, Putin, a couple of weeks before 9/11/12, it's on one of my weekly news wrap-ups, that said that, hey, when you do business and get in bed with terrorists to do your bidding, you can blow up in your face. Think he had those emails? Think a former colonel in the KGB had those emails? Yeah, nothing about that. Nothing about that. And I want to kind of save some time here for the my economic section, because somebody brought up that, why don't you bring up geopolitical things? Well, I will. I'm going to. Michael Krieger from Liberty, blitzkrieg.com, is going to be on the early Sunday release. First time ever guest. Brilliant guy. I was hooping and hollering after the interview. And he makes some big, big leaps into the future with political uprising, that the biggest thing that's going to happen isn't the calamity and the crash. Everybody knows it's going to happen. The political uprising afterwards is going to be unbelievable, never seen before in history. You want to watch him coming out as the early Sunday release. Michael Krieger, LibertyBlitzkrieg.com is his website. I wanted to give you this right here just to show you how good the global economy is. Deutsche Bank shares hit a 30-year low after Fed IMF rebuke, which 13.73 is what's going for. $13.73 for a stock a couple of years ago was over $100. And if you look at, and it's not even fair to compare Deutsche Bank to Lehman Brothers, because Deutsche Bank is orders of magnitude, more leveraged, bigger than Lehman Brothers. I mean, Lehman Brothers looks like a community bank in Tioga, North Dakota, compared to Deutsche Bank. And it is supposedly, according to this new report from the IMF and the Fed, the most systemically dangerous bank in the world. And I wanted to get this chart into. This is an overlay of Deutsche Bank and Lehman. Deutsche Bank is in blue, and it hasn't, you know, canned yet. But look at the how Lehman Brothers, the collapse of Lehman Brothers caused the collapse of 2008.
And that's all we got time for Greg Hunter's weekly news wrap-up. This concludes Sovereign Minds. We the People next here on KCNR Shasta Redding.
I'm Gordon Griffin. A suicide truck bomb in downtown Baghdad killed 115 people and wounded nearly 200 others. The victims were out shopping and celebrating ahead of the end of Ramadan. The attack was claimed by the Islamic State group. A second bombing killed 5 people. No claim of responsibility there. Hillary Clinton says she's been eager to have her interview with the FBI about her handling of email. The FBI interviewed her for about 3.5 hours Saturday about her use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State. Former GOP presidential candidate Rick Santorum says the Democratic presidential candidate won't face indictment thanks in part to what he calls her cozy relationship with President Obama.
The fact that he's going to campaign for her in the face of this looming investigation and potential indictment shows that maybe he knows something that the rest of us don't know.
Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown